Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to episode 173.
Season 7, episode 19.
Of Two Mr. P's in a Podcast with me, Mr. P.
I'm the other Mr. P.
Welcome back, guys. We hope you're well. Hope we're doing all right. Just want to start by saying a massive thank you to everyone who has already pre-ordered a copy of the new book that is coming out in August. We announced it first on the episode last week, posted about over the weekend. So massive thank you to everyone who has pre-ordered a copy. The final manuscript went in today. Was it today or yesterday?
Yesterday.
So really excited for you to get a hold of that. If you've not yet pre-ordered, go to the website, tomrpspodcast.com. There's a link there. You can also get tickets for the last show of the Show and Tell Tour, which is happening on the 13th of April in Liverpool. It was rearranged due to the venue not being open, or building work or something like that. So it's happening in April. There's a few tickets remaining, so if you do want to get involved, it's during the Easter holidays if you want to make a night or weekend of it. If you can't make it up to Liverpool, you can of course stream the copy, the show that we had filmed at the Lowry. That's available as well. So how's your week been, Adam?
Yeah, it's been all right. Didn't do much at the weekend, to be fair. I had a proper chilled one. Obviously the weekend before was the back end of half term, where I had a few, remember telling on the last step, I had like maybe three or four nights on the drink. So, yeah, I had a bit of a sober weekend, which was nice, to be fair. I kind of felt well better for it.
Yeah.
But you don't need telling. Sober as a judge over there.
Yeah, still going strong.
And, yeah, so, to be honest, not really much has been happening. I'm kind of... My son turns 5 on Friday.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because, obviously, any listeners to this podcast who were with us from day one would have... been there for, you know, and listened to the week where I think we recorded maybe the week after.
Yeah.
We maybe missed a week, or we used to do it fortnightly, didn't we? So the fact that he's 5 now, like, or gonna be 5, is crazy. Kind of find myself looking back on baby pictures of him and stuff, and it's just scary how fast that time is going. Because if you think about it, he was born in 19.
Yeah.
Then just before he turned 1 was lockdown.
Mm.
And then obviously 2 years really, innit, that was really kind of, was it. And then, yeah, it's one of those. I think he was born plumb, like, you know, he kind of, that prime time of soft play and all that kind of stuff was gone. And we had to make our own soft play.
Yeah.
And I'd like to put that down to the weight gain. I was trying to enhance the soft play for my son by bouncing on El Gutsador.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've got that coming up, which is, I don't know.
What's it? Is he having a party?
He's not having a party. I mean, you're popping, aren't you, on Friday? I think we're just having, basically, obviously everyone knows Max, he's autistic and he's doing really well at his school. But he
does swimming every day, isn't he?
He loves the swimming.
Love the swimming.
He loves
a little swimming pool in school.
And the best was, I got a message on his like app,
yeah,
and it was like, Max has done something marvelous. So I was like, sick. I always think like, sick, like, yeah, well up for it, proper giddy. And it was just like, Max joined in with the year 5's football. And I was thinking, kids in reception? And then he put a little picture and it's like this little diddy, like Nobby Styles. I'm like, geez. But no, he's doing really well. But like I said, he's not, he would not be bothered if we hired out a place and invited loads of kids.
Yeah.
He only sees a certain amount of people. He's only familiar with a certain amount of people. He loves like birthday cake and candles. So we're just kind of having a few people pop in on Friday. And it coincides his birthday. with the Anthony Joshua fight. So obviously Anthony
Joshua...
Oh,
is that this weekend?
It's Friday, yeah. So obviously Max, who is still, you know, got speech...
Are you trying to play this off like... We've got us get a few people around. Have no, a few drinks.
So Max is having
Max wants to watch the boxing.
A boxing party for his birthday, and the lads are going to have some beers. It's what Max would want. It's funny. I said to my mate who's coming round, Jimmy. He was saying about like, oh yeah, up for Friday, and I said I was just wondering, mate, because he picked me up these beers when I'd had my ankle done.
Yeah.
They're called Menabrea. I introduced you to it on tour, didn't I?
There is it's a nice
absolute
beer.
Lovely drop of beer.
Where we were? I was out, I think it was on that stag, and there was a place that had Menabrea, and that was the closest
that
I'd come.
Yeah, that's fair play to you. And yeah, we had one. What show was that? It was that one where the poster was outside. Do you remember? We went to that really nice meal.
Yeah, I went for a meal
and
before,
and there was a big group
we?
There that was...
Oh, God,
I feel like it's beginning with a C. Is it not?
Want Cardiff.
No, it won't Cardiff. It was that...
It was in the first week, wasn't it?
Oh, I'll be able to know. I'll know it when I see the name. Anyway.
That's really going to annoy me now.
I'll be able to get the tour lineup up.
Oh, God.
Oh, wait. I know where it was because it was quite a nice little town, wasn't it? Wasn't it the one... It was the one where the guy was talking about the politician...
Oh, yeah. It was like London Way. Oh, God, what's it called? this is really going to annoy me.
Wait.
I know which one. Guildford.
Yeah, Guildford, anyway.
Sorry, guys.
We digress, yeah. So, anyway, my mate bought me bottles of Menabrea. And right. I remember I got them dead cold. I didn't have them, obviously, while I was on all my tablets for my ankle. But then once I started getting better and the darts was on, I treated myself to some Menabreas. So I text my mate the other day going, listen, mate, any chance you could pick us some Menabreas up for Friday? I wouldn't ask, but Max has just whispered. No, you know, speech delay, Max just whispered to me, get some Menabreas, brother. But no, I mean, I'm looking forward to that. And yeah, work's been busy, assessment week and all that kind of
jazz.
Oh, we've
had assessment week, yeah. And
yeah, it's just mad. I feel like sometimes, you know what really grinds my gears? Right.
Go on.
Listen, tests are tests. I know, you know, everyone has the view on them and stuff, but if you're going to give a child a test, don't try and trip him up in the question. I did a maths test today.
What tests do you use in your school?
White Rose.
Oh, do you?
But I'm telling you, there was one question.
Oh, White Rose try and trip you up all the time.
But that's what I mean. There was a couple where I was like, oh, I think the answer's this. And then I checked the answers and I was thinking, that's not
the
answer.
The way they word some of the problems.
Oh, that's what I mean. The problem solving was...
Because he's always that little tortoise, tiny. And he always comes out with something stupid. He's always like, oh, I think this. And it's like, why is Tiny wrong? Kid put the other week, because he's always wrong. And yeah, I was like, nice. Correct.
He's got a tiny little brain.
Yeah.
And probably tiny little spuds.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but how's things for you anyway?
Yeah, just busy. Just travelling here, there and everywhere. And then weekends with the kids doing all their sports. So... It was, they had like a fundraiser at the rugby club on Saturday night for the kids' tour. And
where are they going?
It's like Ripon Way, I think. It's not even that far. It's like an hour away, Yorkshire. And I've sponsored the kits this year as well.
You have?
Well, Teachmate has.
Oh, nice.
So Teachmate on the sponsored kits. But yeah, so they had a fundraiser, live band. One of the dads plays bass in a band.
Oh, yeah. Creamy buttery bass.
Should give the band a shout out, actually. But it's on my phone and my phone's recording this. So it was live music. It was class, to be fair.
What kind of tunes were they rocking?
Just a bit of everything. Just, you know, the classics.
So that guy who you know, the other dad who's in the band...
Plays bass.
Does he slap it a bass?
He slaps the bass.
Does he slap the bass good and proper?
And then every so often, there was a kid, like an 11-year-old kid, who got up and played guitar as well.
Really?
Yeah. So he was class. And then, they had a rugby game on the Sunday, and it was like the first real test of like seeing the team play after after a late night.
Yeah, proper rugby do.
Sort of prepping them for the years.
Hot pot and Capri Suns.
Just sort of, yeah, prepping them for years to come of the heavy Saturday night, or the heavy Friday night followed by the Saturday. But yeah, all good. Got lots to share, lots to get through this week, and I'm going to kick it off with a little post I put out on Saturday, because obviously well-being, teacher well-being, still a massive issue. You'll know from listening to the podcast my views on teacher well-being, but what was interesting the other week, research came out, 49,000 workers in the UK took part in this research, looking into well-being in the workplace, and they've concluded...
Is this well-being in school workplace?
No, just any workplace. 49,000 workers took part, and basically they've concluded that individual well-being initiatives have no impact on people's well-being compared to structural change, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
So I've been saying that, you know, I've been saying that for years, but still I get messaged and I get... So I put a post out. And it was like, obviously, the way I look at well-being, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. But my view on well-being is quite simple. You've got to trust teachers to do the job they're capable of doing. The most vital and most important thing you can give a teacher is time, right? And the best way in which to give teachers time is to actively look at reducing workload by trusting the teachers. You know, I think... SLTs have a responsibility, leadership teams have a responsibility to create that culture of trust, to create that culture of belonging. It's like if a teacher knows that they can go to a member of leadership team and they can offload, they can, you know, share concerns and feel those concerns heard and be trusted and feel valued. You know, someone who feels valued will always do more, or someone who feels appreciated will always do more than what's expected, that sort of saying. But you hear of a lot of places, a lot of schools where teachers are being worked to an inch of burnout every half term, constantly scrutinized with book scrutinies, marking policies, this, and then schools think well-being can be sorted by a little token gesture, right? So that's where my beef is. And obviously it comes from that pressure of Ofsted. So Ofsted now come into your school and they'll ask what you're doing about well-being, which is quite the hypocritical stance to take when they create the issues of making workload go through the roof. I've said it before. It's like me being on a new diet and sort of saying, yeah, I'm on a new diet. Oh, who's it with? It's like Deliveroo. It's like really hypocritical for Ofsted to say they care about teacher well-being when they create the workload. But anyway, so I put a little... And what was interesting is it got a bit of a backlash, right?
What? The old controversial edgy celeb is back at it, is he?
Not massively, but there was a couple of comments that caught my eye. So first of all, I'm just going to go through some of the responses on what's a well-being initiative you've had to like do which just missed the mark. Okay. Right, which is, so I'll share a couple of examples with you before we get into the, to prove the point. So someone put wearing jeans, right? So a well-being initiative in a school was allowing staff to wear jeans.
I'd hate to wear jeans.
I am not a fan of jeans anymore. I was a massive fan of jeans in my 20s. Wore a lot of jeans in my 20s.
I still wear jeans.
I think lockdown for me of just 24/7 in trackies, joggers, right? I wear joggers. I even have now smart joggers.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I've seen those. I like those. Yeah,
smart joggers are me all over.
I mean, the thing is, I put jeans on whenever I think, right, I've got to look a bit smarter. So, for example, I took Isla for a Holy Communion practice on Sunday, and I thought, I can't really go to church in my normal joggers, because I'm a joggers man. You know I'm a tracksuit.
To be honest, I think they'd just be happy to have you there.
So I just went... Oh, I put my jeans on. Yeah. So I put my jeans on, and it does. It makes me feel like I've dressed up. But as soon as I step foot at home, I say to Kim, off. I need to go get changed.
What's interesting is there's some people who consider jeans...
comfy.
No, as in like it's not smart.
No, that's... I mean, mine are like grey jeans.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they're...
Yeah. So
I don't know if you noticed though, but I've got a fresh
out pair of joggers.
Pair of joggers on. Not for tonight, but I bought them the other day. I treated myself. I thought, you know, I had a bit of
Giacomo.
No, these are Nike. But I was literally like, to be fair, it was Kim encouraging it. I was like, I saw him in Sports Direct. We're in there looking for something for Max. And I was just like, oh, these are nice, you know, hinting. These are nice. And she was like, get them if you want. Because I'd had a bit of a rough week. And I was like, do you know what? Yeah, I deserve them. But then what I'm shocking for is treating myself to something. But then being too scared to actually wear it or use it. So trainers are bad for me. I'd buy a pair of trainers and be like, oh my God, I love them. But then be absolutely shit scared to wear them. Like, and so I've got trainers in boxes like that I've not even worn.
Never worn.
No, these used to be in boxes, the ones I'm wearing now, but you can tell that they're getting a bit worn.
Should have kept them.
Shut up, man. These are Kevin Durant.
Driving 40 minutes in my lunch break to another school to do the well-being. This is the sort of thing I'm talking about, like the irony of it all. They bought us an inversion table for the staff room.
What's that?
I Googled this. So an inversion table's like one of them.
What's that?
Where you can like hang yourself upside down so you can be inverted.
What?
Yeah.
How weird.
I know.
What would you do if the kid was like, need a first aider, and then you're just there like a bat?
Yeah. I've seen approximately zero people use it. Who wants to or has the time to be upside down at lunchtime? Also, who wants to eat while someone is inverted in the corner of the room?
How weird.
So now we have an expensive dust-collecting reminder of how our employers think they can help our well-being.
What's that supposed to do, though? I thought the blood had rushed to your head.
It'll be something like that. There'll be some sort of mad science, what they call it, pseudoscience, isn't it?
Science.
Snake oil for me. Not at my school, but at a friend's school. Everyone had to go home at 3:45 and the school was locked early. You know, it's like, go home and... queue lots of teachers frantically trying to set up their classrooms and loading piles of books into their cars so they could normally... what they'd normally mark at work. Can't speak tonight. Apologies. Piles of books into their cars that they would normally mark at school. Yeah. How about don't expect teachers to mark when you know it's a waste of time anyway?
You mention marking on a post, it's gonna rub the ICT's nuts.
No, but I mean, that's a perfect example. Like, oh, go out. Well, I can't, can I? Because I'm going to get in a load of trouble when there's an expert scrutiny because I'm not following the marking policy, even though my kids can't even read what I mark. But I've got to do it because you don't trust me to give feedback in a format that's actually going to help the children. So I've now got
to work. Let him go.
A member of staff had a well-being webinar at 10 p.m. on Valentine's Day.
What?
Exactly.
I mean, was it?
Was it well-being or was it?
Was it OnlyFans?
Yeah.
Tell you what, that well-being worked a treat last night.
Well-being staff meetings rather than no staff meeting to catch up with the million things we need to do. The best way to improve my well-being would be time. Amen, Michelle. I know this isn't what we asked for, but we have a great well-being day at the end of the year, right? I'll give it its
time. Okay, okay.
I work in a college. We get free cooked breakfast served by SLT.
No.
Why not?
I just think that's like going too much. I like the breakfast idea, but then the SLT serving it, I'd be a bit like...
Oh, so when we have our Christmas dinner at school, SLT serve that.
Nah, that's not for me, that. I'm not trying to... rim SLTs here. But like you always say, like, SLTs work hard. They're put under pressure by people above them, whatever it may be. SLT deserve breakfast. SLT deserve the Christmas dinner. I don't feel like...
Oh, no, they get a Christmas dinner.
Yeah, no, but serving it, I just think... No.
It's like a way of appreciating.
I know, but I'd appreciate it more if I eat the dinner and then they go, just go for a lie down if you want.
Yeah.
I'd be like, sick.
Seconds.
Oh, yeah.
I always get seconds.
Pigs in blankets?
Yeah. So breakfast served by SLT, then loads of different activities are put on and you can sign up for whichever or none. And just, all right, so you get the choice. So my thing would be, that's fine, put different activities on, but I'm sure there's another story where it's like, you couldn't go home. So that's my thing, is like, if people want to choose, to do whatever's best for their well-being. So like go home so you can be able to pick your kids up from school. Mm. It's that sort of thing. So if it was a choice, and then the day ends with staff awards hosted by the performing arts teacher and an amazing PGC teacher, no one was looking forward to it, but it was actually the best day. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, listen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's look, it's a nice day. And if that's a day that, if that's a day that's supposed to be like an inset day and it's given to you, like, listen.
Yeah, end of the
you've
year.
You've worked really hard. Don't worry about that. We've got inset days in September. We're going to have a full day, but we're all going to be together because we do need to be here.
Yeah.
But we're going to make it fun. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
But that SLT better give me some extra sausages.
We did the mug thing with treats in a few years ago. People put thought and effort into making it personal, and we were randomly allocated a secret friend. Throughout the whole time we did this, I was the only person to receive absolutely nothing.
Oh.
It was a simple thing, but I actually felt pretty crushed. I would too.
That's pretty grim, isn't it?
That is really bad for someone's well-being.
Well, bad for someone's well-being. But do you know what? That's another thing, right? I don't like that, giving the secret friend. No.
Yeah.
No. No. Just like, we're not babies.
When it's forced, yeah. It's when it's forced, yeah.
It's like that. Like,
there's some people you work with that you just don't really click with, but you can still work, you can still
be nice enough and civil. Professional.
Yeah. You don't have to force a friendship.
No. You know. And I've found that out. It's just, you know, you cannot, you got a staff of 50. You cannot get on with 49 other people. No. You're going to rub people up the wrong way. I'm sure I do.
In what a staff of 50, I might have about 5.
Yeah, the thing is with me, I like to try and think that I'm friendly with everyone.
I can be friends with 5, acquaintances with 10.
Civil with 15.
Yeah.
And then hate 10. Sharon.
No, the Sharon I work with is an absolute legend.
I always think, like, as long as you're civil and you're professional, that's the key.
Respectful
and professional.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you're
so
there
you make
for the,
sure yeah. you always like slag them off behind the back so they never hear it. It's making sure the door's closed.
Yeah.
Making sure there's a separate WhatsApp group.
Mm.
You know, it's these sort of things.
I mean, it's key tips.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Maybe allow staff to have a 10-minute break in the day to actually sit and have a cuppa. Nothing more. Nothing more that's better for my well-being. Again, if you've not got 10 minutes during the day, that's a red flag. We are lucky enough to have an aromatherapist in school. Every Friday afternoon, two colleagues are given cover in class to receive a one-hour treatment. Take that.
Okay.
Because the thing with that is it's not outside of your teaching hours.
Now, here's a funny one, right? In the first school I worked at, that's just brought something up to my
But
mind.
What's an aromatherapy? What's aromatherapy?
Is it not where they stick needles in you?
No, that's acupuncture.
Aromatherapy. Is that not? It smells, isn't it? It smells.
Is it? Aromatherapy is a practice of using essential oils for therapeutic benefit.
Now, it reminds me of in my first school, obviously the first teacher I ever worked with was
Cotney John,
shout out.
Yeah.
And when we worked in the classroom that was, it was weird, it was like the upstairs hall and it was the classroom off that hall.
Right.
And at the back of the classroom there was like a spare room with a toilet in it and all of this.
Yeah.
But in one of the toilets was a full-on massage table. Right. So we were all like, that's weird. Like, obviously Cotney John was just like, someone's been having a good time, eh? Kind of thing. And I was thinking, probably you.
They love a massage.
But I genuinely, right, after, and it was an inset day, and I always remember it clear as day. It was an inset day. And I walked in and I couldn't find John anywhere, right?
Yeah.
And he took the massage table into the, what do you call it now? The room with all the lights and stuff. Sensory room.
Yeah.
He took it, which was next door to his classroom or our classroom. He took the massage table into the sensory room. No kids in.
Yeah.
Inset day. Set it up and went to sleep.
Why not?
But like went to sleep and I walked in and he was absolutely conked out. Now, bear in mind, he did have a young child at the time. But do you know what the worst bit was? He was lay on his front with his face through that hole sleeping.
And last couple's massage I went with Claire, I fell asleep and was snoring.
The thought of just going and either credit carding him or just what I wanted to do was when his face was through the hole asleep, I wanted to lie down
so the first
underneath.
Thing
so when he was just kind of like coming round like, oh, bruv, bruv. And then he'd just look and I'd just be there like, all right, mate.
Right, last couple before we go. So, well-being training day where we all completed feng shui with our handbags. I'm not even joking. A well-being walk after school hours in the rain. I didn't want to go but was told it was compulsory. I just wanted a cup of tea and to be dry. Where do I start? A meeting after school about well-being that could have been used to let us get on with the work or go home and look after our well-being. A well-being box that got emptied once every few weeks. In our final 2-hour CPD session of the year, we had to choose, this is the thing when you're forced to do it, we had to choose a well-being activity or suggest our own. Many suggested going home, but this wasn't allowed. Other staff had to organise the activity, so I spent my final 2-hour CPD session in that school watching colleagues bake scones or scones and others partaking in coffee tasting. Safe to say it did nothing for our well-being and made many of us pretty resentful as I was leaving. I found it hysterically funny.
Coffee tasting? Imagine.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, it's coffee. Next one. Yeah, it's coffee.
Coffee with a bit of milk.
That's coffee, that.
Yeah. An inset day with an external speaker about stress/workload that starts with, I used to be a teacher, but... A well-being survey where they took absolutely no notice of what you complain about. When I started teaching many, many years ago, we used to go to the pub on a Friday. Orders were phoned through at break time. The pub knew us and had the food out by 12:10. Back to school for 1:10.
Sick.
You'd have that, yeah. I remember when I was, every Friday for the first few years of teaching, me and Big Kev used to go for the Pizza Hut All You Can Eat. I've talked about that before.
Oh, yeah.
Just on a Friday, straight out for midday, 12, get there. Good 40 minutes back for 1 o'clock.
Well, I remember on an early ep where I thought there was a staff meeting and I think it was early days of well-being and someone told me, oh, we're doing origami in the meeting. And I didn't know what that was and thought that we were going to have loads of crisps and dips.
What did you think it was?
I thought origami was a dip. I thought I was like, you know, like tzatziki and hummus. I was honestly buzzing going to this staff meeting thinking, oh man, you know, I hope they've got a good crisp selection with all the origami. And then there was just loads of chopped up paper. And I was just like, WTF, where's my goddamn dips?
Oh, God. Having sit through a well-being training day that told us all about the danger of high stress without actually eliminating the actual stress or asking the staff what caused the stress. At the end of the session, it was mostly, why don't you take some self-care, take a bath, etc.
God, imagine keeping staff for 2 hours after school, telling them that stress is a killer. You know, if you don't get enough sleep, if you don't get all your work done, stress can kill you. And then you're all just sat there like, Jesus.
Yeah. By the way, it's another butt screen tomorrow and we've spent some money on Mockstead.
Yeah.
Made all the staff come in early and have mandatory toast.
Mandatory toast?
Have you ever heard those two words?
Just imagine
together?
Though, where you're just like that, and it's like, oh, I'm not very hungry. Eat it! Eat it! You're just like shaking, like taking little bites.
You've got to keep going.
Yeah. You've got to keep eating.
The hug in a mug where you get a mug filled with treats from mystery persons say you've been spotted working hard when reality it's because you're clearly overworked and stressed and someone feels bad for you. Not only do I now have a mug to remind me of that, I now have to spend more time filling the mug with things to leave for someone else the following week. Add that to the job list.
Quick story. Cockney John again. All right, bruv. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Cockney John again. At my first school, they started doing hugging and mug, right?
Oh, God.
And Cockney John was really annoyed that he never got it because he was Cockney John, right? And I've got a feeling it was my wife who thought she worked alongside
yeah.
him. And he was shocking. But she gave him this hugging and mug with all his favourites. And then it was up to him who he gave it to, right? Now, this is why he didn't get it. Was because on the day he was supposed to give it, which I think was a Friday, if memory serves, He literally went, oh, bruv. He went, I forgot to go to the shop. He went, I've got nothing, right? He made me go and search all the teachers' secret stashes. And all I found was like the Quality Streets.
Yeah, the ones,
the ones that no one wanted. The Bounties. And he gave the hug in a mug, right? To the children and families officer, who he didn't have the greatest relationship with. And it was to the brim of like Bounties.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There was orange Quality Streets. And then he was just like, there's the hug. There's the hug in a mug.
But that's, yeah, you'd be gutted if someone brought you like, I don't mind a bounty though. I know bounty gets a lot of hate. I don't mind a bounty.
What would I hate the most? Oh, I'm not massive on mint chocolate, I have to say.
I'm mint chocolate or chocolate orange is a no.
No, it's never a go-to. It's never a go-to. No. I like, I mean, obviously I don't have too much chocolate being type one. I don't know if I've mentioned that. But I like a fruit and nut. I like something with a bit of
fruit and nut. Yeah,
just
like
a bit of give,
fruit.
A little bit of give and take. Something that you could find in your tooth an hour later, and you'd be like, "Oh, Dees,
where have you been hiding?"
Oh, hello, cheeky.
Right, last couple of shout outs, and then never receiving one. Wait for it.
Shout outs.
Yeah, like this. Well, a shout out board where you could name and say our member of staff has gone above and beyond because we all are not all already doing that. We also
quick
had
one.
To vote.
Quick one.
Anyway, we also had to vote one person a month too. The winner got a free wellbeing hour/afternoon. I refuse to take part as for some people just coming into work every day and doing the job was already going above and beyond, as you never know what's really happening in people's lives and what daily struggles they overcome silently.
I remember years ago there was a staff shout-out board. Now, yeah. But it wasn't called that. It was something like staff appreciation.
Yeah, yeah.
It was in the staff room. I wrote my own one. I wrote my own one. And it was like, Mr. P's the best. And I put it up and then I walked in and someone went, oh, have you seen that? I went, oh.
Yeah.
What a lovely thing to say. Someone sat there who knows me. It's definitely your hand.
Yeah, yeah. It's not even joined.
Mr. P's spelt wrong.
Yeah. Wait for it. In a previous school, we had to write and present an essay about how to reduce workload as part of our teaching and learning project. Hilarious. Irony much. Gotta love the UK education
that
system.
That can't be true.
Hashtag fail.
Hashtag 2,000 words.
Yeah. On the flip side, we've had some really good wellbeing initiatives, such as half a day off of our choosing, which is covered. I like that.
Yeah.
Seems like a small gesture, but actually really appreciated. Time is the one thing teachers need. Spot on. So I'm not
to
saying...
To be fair, my school do. We have a wellbeing afternoon near Christmas. It's like a Christmas shopping day. Yeah. That's class, that.
Yeah. A very expensive wellbeing speaker on an inset day who told us not to be mood hoovers and just be positive all the time. Problem solved.
I felt like a bad parent once, right? Because that wellbeing afternoon, I always use it to go and watch the kids' shows.
Mm.
So every time in the early days, Isla was at nursery and I'd get the wellbeing afternoon and I'd always drive over to Rochdale where she went to nursery and I'd go and watch the show. And the first year was fantastic. Second year, I was like, oh, can I have Tuesday the 16th of December? It's Isla's show. It's like, yeah, we'll sort the cover. Brilliant. I drove there. Isla screamed and kicked off the whole show. So as I walked out, Kim was just like, oh, she just wasn't in the mood. And I was like, I've wasted my wellbeing. Kim went mad at me. She went, that's your daughter. I went, I'm not going to get this after. I can't cash it back in.
Yeah. A wellness survey, which resulted in us all being told off for 15 minutes when we filled it in, honestly. Right.
I
so,
love that. What, as honest as you can, guys.
What conclusions have you made from all those suggestions there?
There is no good wellbeing.
Well, no, there is. The afternoon off.
Oh, yeah.
So
a lot of them... And more work than
well, yeah, mandatory. Don't force people to do it, and don't force people to do it outside of working hours. They're my two takeaways, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do something about wellbeing, do it within the working hours, like the aromatherapy where it's covered, or your afternoon off. Right. So this is the bite back I got. Why is any effort seen so negatively and cynically? Ever think that may be why SLTs can't be arsed, because any mild effort is berated and mocked for missing the point and not being enough? Well, the people who are trying to make minor wellbeing improvements around the place of work aren't the inspectors and curriculum inventors. They're just trying as hard and going above and beyond as everyone else, but it's just laughed at.
Bet she serves a rubbish breakfast.
So what are your thoughts? So my thoughts on that is that it's about what you're doing for well-being. So while you aren't the inspectors and curriculum inventors, if you're not creating a culture of trust, then yeah, anything you do about well-being is pointless. And it's not laughing at the people.
No.
I think people get so, you know, because when I talk about on my training, I say, look, I'm not having a go at anyone who does this, but I'm just trying to make you see how it's pointless if you're forcing teachers to mark and do this, that, and the other. Someone actually, I think, summed it up great. I think it's because it appears so tone deaf. What SLT need to do is identify what's harming people's well-being and address that. While a basket of biscuits once a week in the staff room is lovely, it doesn't change the fact that I leave at 5:30 every day, will barely see my child, only to finish my work at home and in the evening. Want a well-being initiative? Scrap useless marking policies and see how happy staff are.
Ooh.
That's what I think. That
did
sort
you
of
like
sums
that
up.
Comment?
No, but I've just read it out on the podcast.
Give it a like. Whilst you're there, give it a like.
I download the comments.
Give it.
Into a spreadsheet.
Okay.
Which I then organise into how I'm going
to
read it.
Plus, I know what you're like. It's tough to get a like from our seat.
Oh, yeah. You're not getting a like from me. Let me tell you that. Right. Last week, we had a little bit of a clip that went viral.
Yes, we did.
It was our father and Uncle Kevin.
Uncle Kevin.
Now, again, I've been on my computer.
Oh, yes.
And I've been downloading the comments from TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook.
It went cray-cray, that clip.
Yeah. So I've got some other misheard lyrics.
Yes!
So, we had the Christmas song, Feliz Navidad, playing in class, and a child was singing at the top of his lungs, Philip's not my dad. Philip's not my dad. Da, da, da.
Imagine if the stepdad's called Philip, just like, Jesus.
Trying to provide for these kids.
I work hard.
I paid all that money for your presents, and you're singing,
no, that's
Philip's
it.
Not my dad. Oh, oh, God. Hail Mary, first in the race, best in swimming. I had a child write a story about a flying nun where he wrote direct speech, give us this day our daily eggs.
I actually saw one, I don't know if you've got it, where it said that one where it's our father and Uncle Kevin, Harold be thy name.
Harold came out so much. Harold be thy name.
Harold be thy name.
The Lord's Prayer. What is it? Our Father, art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Our kingdom. And deliver us, this one, deliver us by email.
Deliver us from evil.
Yeah, deliver us from evil. Deliver us by email.
Send to all. What's that one? What's that thing that everyone hates at the start of emails?
Circling back or?
No, no.
What?
Wait, he says.
To whom it may concern.
No, there's one that's like, there's one that everyone hates. What is it?
As per my just
as per my last email.
As per my list, yeah.
Oh.
We had a girl in my preschool that used to say, "My father, who is in heaven, hello, what's your name?"
Love it.
My son, when learning his prayers, started, "Dear Elephant Farmer," instead of "Heavenly Father." Dear Elephant Farmer.
Elephant farm.
Sarah used to say, "Hail Mary, full of grapes." Well, I had one little boy in reception who wanted God to deliver us from eagles.
Oh, love these. I could listen to these all day.
Yeah. My sister, who's 71 now, as a child would say, "Give us this day our daily bread and a plate of Rice Krispies."
Plate.
After learning about the Holy Trinity, one child proudly announced it was in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Pigeon.
Coo. Well, that's a pigeon.
Yeah, it's like...
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good.
I'm an LSA of a C of E primary. This reminded me of when year 5 and 6 were asked to write the Easter story. One of them wrote that Jesus went to Bethany and spent the night with her.
Oh, yeah.
Resurrecting for show. Wait, where's that?
Is that a crucifix in your pocket or you just happy to see me?
I was taught while shepherds washed their socks by night, all seated round the tub, the angel of the Lord came down and showed them how to scrub. I like this one, me. My little girl used to sing, "Give me joy in my heart, keep me crazy."
Yeah! Give me joy in my heart, I slay. Yeah.
We had a little group that would say, "Who art in Devon? Howard be thy name."
Did anyone else think Halifax?
Yeah.
I did.
My son still says "our mate" instead of "our men."
Oh, love that.
Our mate.
And God bless us. Our mate.
Our father who does art in heaven.
Bob Ross.
My little girl attended a Catholic school and came home after the first day and recited a prayer. "Our Lady of Petrol Succor, pray for us." And it's "Our Lady of Perpetual Succor, pray for us."
Petrol Succor.
When I was at school, I remember fellow students singing, "Cucumber, my Lord, cucumber. Ah, Lord, cucumber."
Ah, oh, mate.
Ah, oh, mate.
I love that. Can I get an amen? Ah, oh, mate.
My daughter learnt "Away in a Manger" for a reception nativity, but thought the words were, "A little Malteser lay down his sweet head." What about this one? My husband grew up at church and said each week, "Thanks, Peter God." Clearly thought God was called Peter.
Oh God, that got me.
"Thanks, Peter God."
I love that. I'm the Lord of everything. Name? God. Peter God. Peter.
Yeah. Well, when singing we wish you a Merry Christmas during our reception nativity play, one child sang, "The Chinese we bring to you and your king." The Chinese.
Someone said, "Just someone had a Chinese."
Anyone for a Chinese? Foundation class drawing pictures of the nativity scene. One of them drew a round red shape in the manger. It was the baby Jesus, and they'd drawn a baby bell.
Oh, brilliant.
As a kid at primary school, we had to say the Hail Mary prayer. The final line is, "And at the hour of our death, amen. For years, due to a rather well-spoken head teacher, I genuinely thought it was, "And at the ah of our death."
I just love it.
In a school where me and my friend taught, said the Hail Mary before lunch every day. The line is, "Pray for us sinners." And the children thought it was, "Pray for our dinners."
Just all there starving, like, come on. All together now.
Yeah. I thought it was "Our Father who farts in heaven."
How did you think it was that?
Yeah. Where's that one? My son in year one thought, "Forgive us our trespasses" was, "Give us our train passes."
Where's our train passes?
Yeah. Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I'm the Lord of the dance settee. At Christmas, I say to a little one, "What have you been learning about?" Confident reply, "The Smith family." "The Smith family," I ask, a little confused. "Yeah, you know, the story about Mary and Joe Smith."
Big Joe Smith gets a tough, tough ride.
what's it? There's another one that I need to find. In reception, my daughter would say, "In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ferret, Amen."
I swear, some of these have got to be on purpose. You can't think.
It's that ferret. Oh, God. As a grown adult, I went to church and turned to the person next to me and said, "Pleased to meet you." He looked at me and smiled sympathetically before explaining it was, "Peace be with you." I taught a boy in a C of E school who used to say, "And lead us not into Thames Station." My daughter used to say, "Forever and ever, Norman." My little sister at Christmas, away in a manger, £4 for a bed. I've got to find this other one about. Right, this one I think was my favourite. We had a boy who drew Mary, Joseph, the baby Jesus, and then a really fat chap. He told us it was Round John Virgin. Round John Virgin. Oh, God. Thank you so much for sending them. They're so funny. My daughter used to say, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Pony Spirit."
Oh, well, on that kind of... Oh, God, I'm crying. On that kind of vibe, you know, quite a few eps ago, I shared loads of funny things that kids call stuff.
Yeah.
So I remember one that sticks out was like a little girl called an aquarium a liquid zoo.
Yeah.
And things like that. I've got some more here. My middle child called my goatee chin grass. And then when I shaved, he said, "Daddy, did you cut your chin grass?"
Chin grass.
My son used to call eyebrows up surprises.
I like that.
When my daughter was very little, she called bras booby jackets.
Why are they always better than the other words?
I know. There's a few here that are like crazy, like, yeah. My then 3-year-old son didn't know what to call a life jacket, so just called it a boat coat.
There you go, a boat coat.
My nephew tells us that we're stretching him out when he's stressed out. This is a great one. My brother never wanted to eat in the dining room. Turns out he thought that... He thought there was a living room and a dying room. My niece called chicken legs chicken on the cob. Then these are the good ones. Oh, this one's good. My oldest called the butcher shop the meat bakery.
Nice.
Yeah. My son called an exclamation point a yell mark.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Love that. I heard a kid refer to Mr.'s water dust. My 4-year-old walks around shirtless saying he's wearing my tummy. My daughter used to call her armpits her undershoulders. My son called fallen branches tree bones for a year.
Tree bones.
My son used to call reindeer Santa cows. My son has always called question marks mystery marks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then finally, when my daughter was a toddler, she called tears sad drops.
Oh, nice.
Great, though.
Yeah. Right, got a dilemma for you.
Oh, baby.
Help me, I have a dilemma. It's causing more pain than a vinegar enema. Help me, please, I need you to. Mr. Peace, some help from you, please.
dilemma, and we'll finish with a couple of other stories. So we have a staff WhatsApp group, and there is a colleague who will post some of the worst and most cringeworthy unfunny memes. Don't worry, Mr. P, none of them are yours. Yours go down quite well.
Yeah, right.
He's added that in there. I feel sorry for her. She's been through quite a messy breakup, but I'm starting to understand why her fella left her.
Oh, brutal.
When the banter she's putting in the group is that bad. We're talking minion stuff that your mum would even think is crap.
Minions, not.
You know it's bad when no one acknowledges or responds to them, and I feel really bad. So wondered whether I should talk to her about it and explain, or would you bother talking to them, or just let them continue to clog up the staff WhatsApp group?
Do you know what? If a member of staff has been through a tough breakup and ascending, like, because it is thinking it like a minion with a big smile on the face going like, ready for the weekend?
Yeah, yeah.
Banana.
When's it 1 o'clock?
Yeah. Oh. Right. I'd like it. I'd be that member of staff who likes it to give them a bit of confidence, because I think that the yearning for that acceptance
and validation.
Validation, and I think the more it gets ignored, the more she's searching.
Do you reckon?
Funny minion memes.
What I'd start doing is like privately messaging her some good memes and being like, I tell you what, the group would love this.
Share this.
Feel free to share this. Like, did you see the video of the woman who got caught on the shop door going up?
Oh my God.
Like that. Just so if the person listening to it is an avid, obvious meme, what do you call it?
Fiend.
Yeah, or a meme connoisseur, should we say.
A meme monster.
Yeah. If you've got loads coming at you, just save a couple, DM that member of staff and be like, listen, share this.
Does it not make... I immediately felt sorry for that person. Just because I get it. I understand it. It's like, you know...
But again, a staff WhatsApp group's different from your mates.
No, I know.
Remember, if there's a staff of 50... She's only going to like 5.
Well, no, but a staff of 50, she's getting 0 likes. Getting 0 interaction. I've been in a staff WhatsApp group, though, where...
Getting no likes.
No, where I've posted something. I think this is the worst thing that can happen in a staff WhatsApp group, is when I post something.
Yeah.
And then immediately after, someone else posts something, and then everyone responds to them, and you're like... What about me?
Yeah, when a conversation just...
I've deletioed before. And like, you know what? Remove for all. You don't deserve me.
That's what I do. I just give her a helping hand. Give her a lesson in meme
101. I mean, yeah.
Sure, you can do it as a university course now. Sign her up.
I think
studying the memes.
Or, you know, keep your friends close and your rubbish meme people closer. just like it and then set the example.
Yeah.
Before you get onto a few stories, I've got... Because I know you've got some disgustings, haven't you?
I might save them for next week.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll share my disgustings today.
Right.
And I've got two...
I think I potentially come across one of the worst disgusting stories. And literally, as I read it...
Mine's pretty bad.
All right. Mine's well, yeah, bad. We'll do yours because we don't... Or do you think you want to save it and finish on it?
I can save it, yeah, but I've got two stories here just to line you up. You look like you've got a story. It's probably not as good as Nana Maury's. But tell me your story anyway, I hope it's a hit. If it's not good, then I'ma go reap it from Chip. I hope the people's there too. This came from a member of staff from my school was telling me about her old school.
Right.
So she said like, because I always say like, you know, tell me funny stories and if they're good, I'll share them. apart from that woman who posts memes to the group all the time, I'm just like, don't share anything with me. Banana! And basically she said that she was covering this year one class, right? And she walked in Monday morning and all the kids come in and she says, hi everyone. You know, good morning, year one. Morning.
Yeah.
Hope you had a nice weekend. Did we all have a nice weekend? And one kid went, I had a great weekend. I pissed in my cat's ear. Right. So the teacher went, sorry, thinking she'd misheard. And this kid went, Seriously, I pissed in my cat's ear. And the teacher went, I don't really think that's appropriate. And he went, my cat was asleep. I walked over and went, psst. And then this one, which I was sent today. So have you seen this book? Where's the book? The Final Year. Have you heard about it?
Yeah. Yeah, Matt Goodfellow, yeah.
Yeah.
Have I not talked about it?
I think you may have a while ago. But anyway, someone got in touch saying that they're doing the final year in year six and they're doing a writing topic on it, right? So listen to this. Doing writing with a girl in year six who has been really trying hard and improving her writing all year. Doing writing about the book The Final Year. A girl in her draft letter put cider and cigarettes as examples of mum's bad behaviour. But as they were editing, she put her hand up and said, Miss, I'm going to use exaggeration in my writing. I thought, wow, I am really making an impact on this girl. This wasn't until I edited her piece of writing where she had changed cider and cigarettes to vodka and cocaine. I've not got the heart to tell her. It's staying in, right? But maybe I have to hide it on the writing display wall.
Yeah. I've got a story that's similar to your first one. In my year one class, we were reading a story. We came across the word pace. And I asked if any of the children knew what the word means. After a few innocent but incorrect attempts, I said I would explain what it means. At this point, a very streetwise child who doesn't always make the right choices put his hand up. As he doesn't often engage, I excitedly asked him to have a go. He said, oh, you know, taking the pace. Me and my TA met eyes and tried not to laugh. I desperately tried to move the lesson on by saying, oh, I think you're thinking of a different word, but thank you for trying, with a mental note to catch up with him one-to-one, but he was on a roll and continued, you're pacing me off. What a pace take. He was quickly ushered out of the class by the TA, and I'm not sure if he genuinely thought I was asking what piss meant.
Did he get taken for the toilet to have a pace?
Absolute pace taker.
Oh, that's brilliant.
My class were doing their assembly in front of the whole school and parents, so I was sat on the floor with my legs crossed directing them. At the end, I was told to stand up so everyone could congratulate me. As I stood up, I could not feel my leg as it was completely numb. And I've never felt this before. I tried to walk and my leg literally wouldn't work. I started to feel myself going down and thought this must be a dream.
Going down.
This can't be happening. I fell back onto my ass in front of the whole school, all staff and parents of the children in class. I wanted to die. And the worst part of it, I hit a reception child in the front row on my way down. Most embarrassing moment ever.
Oh, I forgot to read this out. A comment on one of the videos. Teacher pulled a parent in.
Yeah.
Right? Teacher had just got in after the holidays, and the teacher had a necklace from a holiday with painted little water pictures on it.
Yeah.
And she had a word with the parent because the son had gone up to her and gone, nice jugs.
Right, this one. We had such a tough morning with a child in year two. Referring to his positive handling plan multiple times to ensure the safety of himself and others. You can imagine we were frazzled messes. Anyway, we had the printer guys in fixing the printer, and this child in crisis was showing another member of staff and I the middle finger. My colleague very nicely and calmly said to him, oh, come on now. We don't do that. It's not very nice. He looked her dead in the eye, stuck his middle finger up on the other hand and said, how about an effing double?
Oh,
I went from a frazzled mess to a hysterical cackling mess at this point, along with the printer guys.
It's what I say to Kim when I'm hungover and she goes, what do you want from Mackie's a cheeseburger? Make mine feet double.
How about an effing double?
An effing double.
It's like the Uno reverse card of the...
Oh, God.
Oh, come on. That's not fair. Oh. How about an effing double? Oh. Right, go on. You're disgusting to finish.
Well, I was going to say, I actually had a funny moment today, right? So I was having a chat with this year six lad. Absolute legend he is. He's got a dead good sense of humour, so can have a real laugh with him. Mm. Anyway, he's on the playground. I'm there on the playground. I'm always dead. I'm everywhere on the playground. I'm playing all the different games and trying to start things off and stuff. Anyway, I'm chipping a rugby ball about today.
Yeah.
And he walks over and he loves his rugby, but he had a pen in his mouth. And I went, put the pen away. I was like, if I throw this rugby ball to you and it hits that pen and that pen goes down your throat, I'll be really sad because I'll lose a good pen. Which I thought, and you know what, this kid cry laughed, which is just great. It just tickled me that.
I heard a story and it made me feel sick. This podcast isn't the place I was expecting it.
What a gross kid. Why is he doing that? Why'd he put his fingers so far up that cat? I don't think I've ever seen the human body doing that.
Gross.
This came from a post a while back, and I screenshotted one of the comments. And anyway, here we go. This is the first one.
Right.
Today, I had two kids vomit on the carpet within 15 minutes of each other.
Nice.
Another child who had hold of my scarf, then dragged it through the sink.
Oh.
Bin it.
Need a new scarf.
Bin it. And then this one. What I think has been an epic episode, yeah. To be fair. Get ready. I'm a teaching assistant, and I was asked to cover reception PPA on one afternoon. When I was having a chat with the teacher on arrival, she explained one child had complained of feeling sick all day. The parents had been called, but they said the child does this all the time to leave school, so unless they've been sick, they're staying in. She was sat in the home corner. I went over to speak to this little girl, who in all fairness did look poorly. I leant down and said, "How are you feeling, lovely?" And it was at this point she projectile vomited in my face and all over my hair. So it says, whilst wiping the spag bol she just had for dinner off my face, I turned to the other staff member and said, "I think we're okay to go on the back." Imagine that, just like, oh.
Yeah.
So mints, like, oh. Waters. But you'd have to be professional.
How
when you're
doing,
like,
lovely?
Like rubbing the back, it's okay. Just like absolute bolognese. Head.
Yeah. How are we feeling, lovely? How about an F double? Sick's the worst for you, innit?
No. I've not really got a worst. No, I've had my...
I'm telling you now, there's two I've got.
I think snot's pretty bad, but I think...
I think the ones I've worse than this.
Snot's pretty bad, and I think... But I don't really have a worse. I think sick... Yeah, sick's not
sick.
Though,
sick the
it?
Smell of sick.
Smell of sick. Yeah.
Now, listen, if you've got a story, a disgusting tale, anything that you think, oh, that'll give them a laugh, head over to the website, twomrspeedspodcast.com, and you can share your stories anonymously. Remember, it's always anonymous. In fact, I'll do this one last one here, right? Because this is not anonymous.
Oh.
Well, it isn't. Recently, I was hanging out with a friend who told me a story about when his brother was at school. Feel free to keep the school anonymous, but I work as a teacher in a school, and this is by far the maddest story I've ever heard. It's a secondary school situation where a child had to film something / report or record something on a video camera. When inspecting the video already recorded some of the children... and found a very interesting video. So, you know, like you used to tape over videos on VHS. Yeah. So I think it's that. He's not worded it right. But anyway, so when inspecting the video already recorded... When inspecting the video already recorded, some of the children found a very interesting video. Right?
Okay.
A video of a female teacher having sex with a male teacher tied to the PE equipment in the school hall.
And they videoed it.
They'd videoed it. And then the children were asked to do a recording, put this video...
So the equivalent of, like, filming someone on an iPad... And then the kid's going, oh, film your little role play on the iPad.
Going into the camera roll, and then there's this video.
No.
The teachers even remark about how much of a fantasy this has been. As you can imagine, the children reported it, and there was quite the hubbub. This is not the worst thing. The teachers left under a cloud, but the male teacher then came back and worked there teaching my friend. He said he was the coolest teacher he'd ever had and stayed there for multiple years. Attached is the newspaper article. And I've got the newspaper article.
Shut up.
There they are. I won't name them.
Saucy gets.
But you can imagine the newspaper it was in.
He didn't look that cool.
Well, do you know how it has a picture and it says the name?
Yeah.
It says this woman's name tied to the wall bars. And then the guy's name, sex on bench. Yeah.
Sex on benches.
They watched astonished as the camera pans to blonde teacher lashed to the wall bars by the school's distinctive purple and light blue striped ties. They'd used the kids' ties. And they saw the teacher strip down to a t-shirt, untie the other teacher, and have sex on a gym bench. The stunned boys tipped off pals who dashed into school laboratory. Oh, imagine being at secondary school and finding that video. Of two of your teachers going at it.
I mean, there's rumours about some of our teachers at Bros, weren't there?
Yeah.
Howarth and Davis.
Yeah. It filled the first 15 minutes of the tape, which was one of dozens of supposedly blank videos in the lab.
Fair play, 15 minutes.
The tape was taken from...
I could have had a trilogy.
But in the school, headmaster was only alerted to the video by the parents of a pupil who told them about it when he got home. He summoned both teachers to his office yesterday and suspended them after they admitted they were stars of the sleazy show. They claim they filmed it in six or seven. They claim they filmed it 6 or 7 years ago in the middle of a passionate fling. They said they sneaked into school during summer holidays to fulfill a fantasy. Neither of the teachers, who are in their 40s, are married. Fair play. It's understood that's harsh, isn't it? The greying male teacher is divorced with a son. Why would they use greying?
Greying.
The pair was said to be devastated last night by the discovery. Both have been at the school for 10 years and are highly respected members of staff. As they were sent home, the governors of the 650 pupil maintained school was launching an inquiry. Then the head teacher called the boys in who saw the video and told them to put it out of their minds. Many of them are studying for GCSEs next year. One pupil who watched the film said, it was shocking. We couldn't believe our eyes. And we heard what was on the video and went to watch it. They'd been suspended now. And the talk is they'll be lucky to keep the jobs. The head confirmed last night three pupils working on their own discovered the video. A number of other boys saw it subsequently. I have not interrogated any of the boys and spoke to them as soon as possible to reassure them I'm doing something about it. So this happened in 1995.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, do you know it's not even, I mean, there's a lot to digest there.
I know.
But I think the bars is killing me. How uncomfortable would she have been? And I'm wondering, but did the guy rope in? Did he Indiana Jones in from the rope from the roof? I mean, I hope they laid out crash mats.
Yeah, put crash mats on. But I mean, what would you tie them to? Like the circle part of the blue bars?
They definitely didn't sanitise the bench. So the year sixes, when they finally got their opportunity, you've got a feel for them.
That is
this
madness,
bench is a bit sticky.
Yeah. That is up there as one of
I mean, listen, everyone gets a bit, you know, a bit raunchy, a bit rowdy, a bit horny, baby. But that is randy, isn't it? That is randy.
Did it in summer holidays, so they said.
Don't believe it. But listen, whilst we're on the point of well-being initiatives...
Right, so as always, thank you so much for listening. Like I say, if you've got any stories like the ones we've shared, do head over to the website or ping us a message on the socials. Head over to the website to get your tickets for the last live show, pre-order the book, and join the Facebook group. Please do share the podcast with as many people as you can. If you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts, that's also a massive help. And to all the wonderful mothers out there, we hope you have a fantastic Mother's Day this weekend. Indeed. And we will be back next week. Take care.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kat Farmer.
And I'm Marianne Jones. And we want to ask, are you past giving a toss about what people think?
If so, then please join us for our twice weekly podcast, Been There, Done That, Got the Podcast, where we wang on about misbehaving hormones, inappropriate crushes, and debatable fashion.
All while navigating the banana skins of life in a mid-heel.
Download Been There, Done That, Got the Podcast wherever you listen to your pods.